Welcome to Promised Land at Home podcast, where we bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. Wherever life has you, we pray that today's sermon both challenges and encourages you. We're so glad you're listening today and hope you enjoy the message.
So I want to start out by telling you, I did something that I haven't done this last 2 weeks in over 21 years. I did something. There's a little known fact about me that you may not know, and that is I love to shop. I really do. I love to shop. I love to go shopping. I love finding deals, and we do this. But I didn't go to find a deal this time. I did this. Can we show that picture? You see, I went shopping for my grandbaby that's almost here. You see, I'm going to be a grandpa for the first time, and Pastor Emilio and his beautiful wife, Nikki, are having a baby. They're expecting a baby, and I can't wait. So I go in, and I'm shopping. I'm looking for baby clothes, and it's weird to me. I'm like, what are people thinking? Is this some perv that's over there looking through clothes? I really did. That really was what I was thinking. And then I was texting my wife, and I was sending her all these pictures of baby clothes, and I began to really, really get excited. And so in September, I don't know if I'm going to be Papa. I don't know if I'm going to be Lito. I don't know if I'm going to be Popo. I don't know what I'm going to be called, but whatever my little buddy wants to call me, that's what I'm going to do. So I want you to continue pray for Pastor Emilio and his beautiful wife, Nikki, as their life is about to change quickly. It's going to change quickly. They better get the sleep they want now. That's all I'm going to say. So over the last few weeks, we've been in a sermon series called Blueprints, where we've been going chapter by chapter in the book of the books of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, where Paul is writing to his young protege, Timothy. And so he has been pouring into Timothy, and I want to, before we really get into the message, I also want to tell you, if you ever miss a message, you can always go to our archive section on our website. You can go to our website, look up messages, and look up the archives. You can go to our YouTube channel. You can also, if you're a podcaster, you can listen to our podcast every single week. I want to encourage you to go back, because there's some deep nuggets that you may have missed throughout this time frame. And if you're one of those that come once a month, well, you can catch up online. That's all I'm going to say to that one, okay? But this week we're in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. And when I was given this chapter to speak, I began to look at it, and I'm like, man, where do I start, God? Where is it that you want me to start? Because every single verse in this chapter could be a sermon by itself, every one of them. And I began to get anxious and nervous, said, God, I'm relying on you. Whatever you want in this, whatever it is. And it began to speak to me of what Paul was telling Timothy. And I want to ask you a question. How many of you feel like you're a strong person? Raise your hand. Very few people. The other folks aren't raising their hand, might be lying, and we're going to pray for you. No, I'm kidding. Well, we are praying for you, but not talking about the lying part. But maybe you're strong in an area in your life, or maybe your name is associated when someone says that you're strong-willed. Maybe your name's associated to that, or maybe they're saying that your cologne right now is strong, or your perfume is strong. I don't know. But when I think about strong, I start thinking about someone that's in the military, not just someone that joined the military. I start thinking about someone that is in special forces, or that's an Army Ranger, that is an elite force, or somebody maybe not in the military, but is on SWAT. They've been trained. They go into battle. They're not focused on themselves. It's a team effort. They're going to go into something that is challenging. They're going to go into adversity. They're going to go through some hardships. And someone who is strong is not someone that avoids difficulty. Actually, they run into this difficulty. They don't quit. They go through it till the end of the mission, no matter what it cost. And this is exactly what Paul is calling on Timothy to become. He's calling to become strong in this second chapter. And I believe what Paul is writing, every bit of what Paul is writing is applicable to our lives today, just as if we were Timothy unrolling the scrolls and reading it for the first time. But to give you a little bit of context, you see, Paul was in prison. This was something that he knew a lot about. He knew about being in prison. But in this time frame, there was this widespread movement of persecuting Christians, and everyone in Asia had deserted Paul. He had been there and he had poured his life into this and was spreading the word, and people deserted him simply because they didn't want to be associated with him because they thought they were going to go to prison themselves. And so he was struggling with, how is this ministry going to continue on? I know God has called us to this, and we're here to reach people, but how is this going to go on? So he begins to start pouring into Timothy, and he knew his life was not going to be around much longer. And so if we look at the very first verse in this chapter, he says, Timothy, my dear son, which simply means that this is a son in Christ with him. This is somebody he spent life with. He says, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. And I begin to think of what do folks really think that grace is? I mean, you hear it a lot. We talk about saved by grace. And what does it really mean? Maybe you're new. I was asking my wife about this, and she was telling me that when she first gave her life to the Lord, she's like, I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what grace really meant. And so grace is simply this. It's the unmerited favor, an example, strength and ability from God given to the believer, enabling him or her to be or to do whatever is required in keeping with the calling or direction of the Lord. Let me put it in simpler terms. God's grace is a gift that is given to you that is everlasting. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't achieve it. There's nothing that you can do. You can't work for this grace. It is a free gift for you. And Paul knew that Timothy would need this grace. He knew that he would need this strength to fulfill the calling that God has placed over him. He's not saying you're going to do this on your own. He's not telling him that you can produce this strength, or he's not saying you need the strength to believe in yourself or to be strong like I am, Timothy. He's not saying that at all. He's saying that you're going to need a source in your life, in this Christian life, that's going to help you when you face adversary. It's going to help you when you face some obstacles that you're going to have to overcome. That you're going to have to face when folks are against you. You're going to need a strength to make it through this life. And sometimes we live this Christian life as if God has saved us and now it's up to us. I've got to go and save this person. The reality is you can't save a single person. You cannot save a single person. You weren't designed to save a single person. But you think that we got to do it on, and we're not relying on the strength of God. And guess what? When we're out there on our own and we're trying to do this on our own, it's not going to work. You only have a little bit inside of you, no matter how strong you think you are. Because what happens is that strength of God is going to catapult you into something greater. It's going to go beyond what you think your limits are when you're trusting in God itself, himself. And then there's other times that we just say, well, the Lord's done it all. Just let go and let God, and I'm just going to sit back and do nothing at all. That's what we think sometimes. But Paul's not saying that at all. We don't need to muster up our own strength to try to to be accepted by God or try to do the work of God. Paul knew that it was going to take a lot of training. He knew that it was going to take a lot of discipline. He knew that you're going to have what I'm going to call a battle buddy in your corner that's going to help you along the way, to help you to continue this mission. You see, the pastor's job is this. It's not to continue to disciple people. Yes, he does disciple people. But let me explain. His job is to equip the saints to do what? To do the work of the ministry. That's what his job is. To equip you to continue on doing what God has called us to do. And that what is that? It's to make disciples. Everywhere you go, make disciples. So he tells Timothy that you're going to need this God-given grace to have a strong Christian life. Another way to put it is in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, and we'll go to verse 31. It says, God is always there to give us strength. Verse 31 says, he gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength, for those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You see, another reason why Timothy had to be strong was because he needed the strength to carry out the mission. In verse 2 it says, you have heard me teach these things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. You see, it takes strength to disciple people. It takes strength to carry on the mission. And when I was in the Army, we used to have what's called train the trainer. And what that simply meant is that you were training somebody to take your job. Because the reality is you're not always going to be there. So what we would do is we would pour into that next generation, what that next generation were the privates and the lower enlisted, and we were pouring into them because when that battle comes, which it's going to, they're going to know exactly what the mission is. They're going to know exactly how to fulfill that mission, and they're going to pick up the pieces and run when you're not there. And that's exactly what Paul was telling Timothy to do. You're going to need people beside you. And my question to each one of you are, who are you pouring into? God is bringing people in your path that you may not even know. It might be the people beside you. It might be your family members. It might be the people that are at work. It might be the people that you cannot stand. God is bringing in your path. And I was thinking about this just this past week. And actually, it was this morning that God revealed this to me, but there was something that happened this past week is what I'm trying to say is, you know, I have been going through a situation in my life, and I was going into this procedure on Thursday, and it has really been battling me and been a hard time, if I could be transparent with you. And so I go into this procedure, and I'm talking to the anesthesiologist, and I said, all right, give me the good stuff because I've been up 32 hours. I'm tired. I want to go sleep. That's what I told him. That really did happen. And then the doctor walks in, and he goes, Mike, what church do you go to? I have never told him I go to a church, never told him anything like that. I never told him anything. He goes, what church you go to? I said, I go to Promised Land in San Marcos. He said, well, I'm coming through San Marcos. I may just stop in. I don't even know if he's here right now. But the point is, God is bringing people in your path, and who are you pouring into? I don't know why God did that. I don't know why he did that. But what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks is we're going to start seeing these Texas State students start to come back. And you're going to see parents that are coming in here. And who are you pouring into? Are you pouring into that next generation? We hear churches all the time about pouring into the next generation, but are we really doing that? Are you really fulfilling the mission of making disciples of Jesus? I remember when we first came here, Brother Rob and Sister Kathy, they would have college students, and they would pour into them, and it would just touch, it would bless my soul to see them pouring into the next generation. And when we came back from Promised Land Locker, when we came back to this campus, I felt like God was calling us to do the same exact thing. I'm like, man, all of our kids are grown. Who are we going to pour into? And we began to open up our doors and have a small group for young adults. And I'm like, how are we going to relate to them? What are we going to do? We were just simply available and pour into them and so thankful for all the young adults that come through. We didn't even have places for them to sit. And we would cook for them and they would come into our home, but we were pouring into them. And I just wanted to ask you, who are you pouring into? I want you to think about that. When you see somebody, when God brings them in your path, what are you doing to spread the love of Jesus? You don't have to walk around with being what we would call growing up a Bible thumper, where you got your hands and you're walking around and you're rebuking them and on. It's not that at all. It's that you're showing the love of Jesus to them in this dark world. You're spreading the light over this dark world, and they get to see something in you and they're drawn to that light. You see, Paul knew that we would need God's grace for what we would face because we were children of God. He says, guess what? In verse 3, he says, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier in Christ. So welcome to Promised Land, where we just give you encouraging message that you are going to face suffering. That's exactly what it is. Yeah, you're going to face it. You're like, wait a minute. I didn't sign up for this. Yes, you did. When you became a child of God, you signed up for the suffering that you're going to face. You know, you're like, well, wait a minute. I mean, I give my tithes. I read my Bible. I serve in a ministry. How could this happen? How can I go through this? We sometimes get confused when it happens, and we think that there's no way that we could do this. And sometimes when suffering comes to people, they get discouraged and they want to run away from God, and they feel betrayed by God because something's happened to them. Time doesn't permit for me to tell my story, but I was there at one time in my life. I was mad at God. I ran from God for 20 plus years because I could not believe what I was going through. Why did I have to go through this? I missed out on the blessings of God because I ran from Him. I don't want anybody to have to go through that in their life. And people are caught off guard, but 1 Peter 4:12 says this, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were going to happen. Because what he's saying there is that, guess what, you're going to get attacked simply because you're a Christian, that you're a follower of Jesus. You're going to get attacked. So don't be surprised. Psalms 23 does not say, yay, I will never walk through the valley of the shadow of death. No, it doesn't say that at all. It says you will walk through it. There will be many valleys that you go through. There will be dark seasons in your life that you're going to go through. But guess what? You're not going through it alone. You're going to have the strength of God to help you through it. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something about the little military thing. I actually said this earlier. I said, when you become a Jesus follower, you are simply enlisted. You are chosen to be in the army of God. You are on active duty. There is no reserve. There is no what we would call the weekend warriors, if you will. There is no reserve status. You're on active duty. And the truth is, the spiritual reality is this, that we have to accept why things happen to us, especially when we make our commitment to follow Jesus. The reason why you're attacked is because suddenly you pop up on the enemy's radar. That's why. You pop up on the enemy's radar because you are valuable. Why? The devil sees something that he hates in you. He sees something because the light of Jesus, like I said, is shining in you, and it exposes darkness all around you. The darkness cannot stay dark when the light is shining through. It's not that you're something supernatural. It's the supernatural light is shining through you and illuminating the darkness. And darkness does not want to be anywhere around the light, obviously. So we can expect suffering as a good soldier of Jesus. And I've always thought it was interesting how there's so many relational things when it comes to the Bible. It relates or it compares to a soldier, how we're in battle a lot, how we're going to overcome the enemy, you know, things like this. But I do want to tell you that it's not a playground that we're in. The Christian life is not a playground. It's a battlefield. And we are at war. And I don't want you to ever be fearful that we're at war, because what happens is that when you're at war, when you're in the military, you're constantly training for war. You're constantly training, because what happens is that it's going to come. And so we need to equip ourselves. We need to get into the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God, because that is what is equipping us when we face the battles. Ephesians 6:12 says this, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." You see, the devil's mission has three parts to it. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he comes to do. He's coming to distract you. As soon as you give your life to Jesus again, you became a part of it. You're seen on his radar. You became a part of his mission. He's coming to attack you. It's not that we should live in fear. Like I said, somebody might say, "Well, why are you talking about the devil in church?" The reason why, there's a real clear reason why we're doing this. I'm not here to glorify. This is not a glorify the devil sermon. This is not talking about that we should live in fear. What I'm telling you is that we need to be equipped as followers of Jesus to know how to battle against the one who hates God and the one who hates you. These spiritual battles that we engage are not going to be easy at all. They're going to be tough. They're going to be exhausting. You're going to need some help. And I start thinking about that exhausted soldier who needs to restore his strength, or he's going to become an easy target of the enemy. And what he wants to do is he wants to get inside your head. He wants to mess with those thoughts. He wants to tell you that you're not worthy of what God's called you to do because you've done this or you've done that. He wants to get inside your head that there's no way that he can restore your marriage. He wants to get inside your head and say that diagnosis that the doctor gave you is terminal. Don't worry about it. You just go ahead and give up. He wants to get inside your head and say that you are defeated. But the Bible tells you something, that you are an overcomer in Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible tells you. But you're not fighting this alone. Oftentimes when we go through situations, we think we're alone. We start to isolate. We start to retreat back. We don't want nobody in our life. We're worried about what people think. We start to isolate. But the Bible says that he is always with you, that he never leaves you, that he never forsakes you, that he's always with you, and he brings people in your path that's going to help you. Guess what? There's times in my life that I say, I don't feel like praying. And I'll text my battle buddy and I'll say, "Hey, man, I need your prayers. I don't feel like praying. There's something going on right now. It's a distraction. I don't know what it is. I need your help. I need you to get in the trenches with me, and I need you to pray with me." There is no judgment there. He just simply says, "All right, I'll pray." Or he simply listens. And I'm like, "Are you there?" He said, "You said you didn't want me to say anything. You just wanted me to listen. So I'm listening. What do you want me to do?" You see, with every battle comes battle scars. You're going to face some things. Sometimes you may walk with a limp because of what you've gone through. You may have some physical scars because of the battle you went through, or some internal scars that you're facing. Every battle has battle scars. And if anyone knew what it was like to be in war and to be on the battlefield, it was Paul. You see, he was in prison, like he was writing to Timothy, but he had been in prison multiple times before that. 5 times he endured 40 lashes. 3 times he was beaten with rods. He was stoned with rocks. He was shipwrecked. He spent the night at sea, betrayed, beaten, left for dead. And some scholars say that you couldn't even recognize him, that he was alive. But Paul knew firsthand that the hardships to come when we live righteously. He wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, he says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." What this scripture is telling us is that the struggles that we are in today is producing the strength that you need tomorrow. This momentary trial or struggle is not even worth comparing to what God is going to do in your life. So I want to tell you, I want to tell you to hold on. I want to tell you to remember where your strength is coming from. Because I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what you came in the doors with today. I don't know what wounds you still have or the scars that you have. I don't know what wounds are still open that you haven't given to God. But can I tell you something? That the scars that you and I have do not mean that you're finished. The scars are a place of healing. It's a sign that you've been healed and ready for action. And if God was with you through that, you are victorious. And it leads me to the main point. Oftentimes we're forgetful when we go through situations. But Paul tells us this in verse 8. He says to remember Jesus. He says, always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. I love what the Message translation says. It says, fix this picture firmly in your mind. Focus on Jesus. Of course, it's easy to remember Jesus when things are going good, but when things are going bad, do we remember what Jesus has done for us? Or do we focus on the problems? And what happens, we're forgetful people, so we tend to focus on the problem instead of Jesus. We seem to think that our problem is too big. We believe that lie. Or we believe that this heartache that I'm going through is too heavy. Or our pain seems to be too much to bear. And we start to give up. But can I tell you that Jesus is the answer for every single problem that you face? The strength of Jesus is going to help you. The grace of God in Christ Jesus tells us that we fight from victory, not to victory. I'm going to say that again. The grace of God in Christ Jesus tells us that we fight from victory, not to victory. I want to close with this story. The story is about a painting that's in a museum in the Louvre Museum in Paris. And that story has a placard that says checkmate on it. To tell about this painting, the picture on this painting is the devil is playing chess with somebody, and it depicts that this person that has already lost, his hands on his head, he's already lost. And the placard at the bottom says, checkmate. You see, there was a time when this group of tourists was touring through that museum. And they begin to see this picture, and so the tour guide tells them about this picture, and then they move on. But there's one guy that just stays there. He's looking at it. And so the tour guide, as they're at the next site, he realizes that one is missing. So he goes back and he asks the guy, he says, is everything okay? And the guy says this, he says, you're either going to have to change that picture or change that placard. And the tour guide's like, what do you mean? This is just a painting. He goes, no, what you don't understand is that I'm a chess player. That's what I do for a living. But I'm not only that, I'm a world-renowned chess champion. And I see things different that you don't see. He says, sir, it's just a painting. He goes, no. What shows defeat, there's one more move. The king has one more move. And he goes, what do you mean? He said, again, I see something that you don't see. The king has one more move. So he's not defeated. The king has one more move. So what Jesus did on the cross for you and I, that was the next move. He was not defeated. Although he bore our sins, he took the weight of our sins. He bore everything so you and I could have life. The king still reigns. It wasn't checkmate. Your life is not checkmate. In checkmate. You're not defeated. There's one more move. That move for you is to simply say, God, I need your strength. I put my faith and trust in you that you've got everything in control, even when it seems to be out of control. The king won. God has no intent of allowing you to lose the battle of life. Victory in Jesus is yours. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, for you and I, what was meant for our harm, he's already turned for our good. Healing has happened. Freedom has happened. Breakthroughs have happened. No matter what you walked in the door with, there's freedom in Jesus today. Because the king has one more move. He's not defeated. King Jesus still sits on the throne. The devil cannot win. He cannot win in anything. He operates from defeat already. And it is time for us to stop giving him the strongholds of our life. Allowing him to have the stronghold of our life is what I'm trying to say. Allowing him to take control of our mind. I don't know what you came in with, but I want everybody to stand, please. We're going to go into a time of prayer, and I simply want you just to release whatever it is that you came in the door with. We're going to get out of here on time, but I simply want you just to raise your hands. You'll hear me say this often in here. And when you raise your hands, what you're saying is, I surrender. You're not holding on to anything. You're just simply opening up your hands and you're releasing everything that has kept you from receiving the victory that is in Christ Jesus. And as we pray, in your own words, I just simply want you to say, God, I give it to you. I need your strength to make it every day. I need your strength to disciple the people that you're bringing in my path, whether it be my family, whatever it may be. I need your strength to make it every single day, and I'll walk in victory in you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, I thank you that there was one more move. I thank you, God, that we can turn to you, that we're not defeated, no matter what the situation is. That you're absolutely in control when everything seems to be out of control. I pray for every single person that's in here or that's watching online or that's listening to a podcast right now. God, I pray that they would walk in victory, that they would lean to you, that you would bring people in their path that's going to help them along the way, a battle buddy, if you will, to help them along the way when times are tough. Lord, let us lean to you in all aspects of our life and let us walk in victory every single day because you are still on the throne. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget we want to connect with you. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube by searching Promised Land San Marcos, on Instagram at PSM Church, or on our website, psmchurch.com. Thanks again for listening to the Promised Land at Home podcast.